welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
All right. Well, in the words of my West Coast surfer friends, I am stoked to start this new series called Summer in the Psalms. And so I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. And again, as Sam mentioned, go ahead and pull out those notes that you received on the way in that are in your worship guide. And as I think about this series and why this is so important to me, I'm reflecting back to an experience I had just a couple weeks ago. I was trying to do my devotions, trying to read my Bible one morning. And I say trying because maybe you can relate to this. I was reading and, you know, and it was like nothing was clicking. I felt like it was so much work to read my Bible. I felt like turning the pages felt like 1,000 pounds. It was like, you know, just, and I'm trying to read my Bible, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm here, God. But I felt kind of like, maybe you've seen in the movies, I remember a scene in Three Amigos, that old movie, you know, they're in the desert, you know, and it just, you're in the desert, like, longing for a drink of water, you know, crawling in the sand, just dying of thirst. And I kind of felt that way personally, just, Lord, I'm feeling so tired and weary and thirsty. And then I remember when I finally turned the page and this verse just jumped out at me. Have you ever had that where it just, oh, it was like someone gave me a big old glass of Evian water, you know, in the middle of the desert. Just, you know, just, I felt so like the Lord just met me right where I was. It was just a simple promise that I needed to hear from him, and it just did something in my soul. And as I was praying and reflecting, for one thing, it hit me like I didn't even realize how weary I had become, how tired I had become. And it wasn't like there was anything major that had gone on. I mean, it's just probably the normal things of life and everything. But I recognized as I prayed a little bit more that day, even though I began to pray for you as a church family, that I found, you know, the more I think about folks that I've been talking to lately, I think a lot of us are coming into summer kind of feeling that way. You know, just, oh my goodness, you know, I'm feeling weary and tired. And, you know, whether it's that you're just finishing the school year going, man, this is, I just need a break. You know, whether you're a teacher or a parent or a student, or maybe for others, you've been navigating some work situations and or family situations, and you're just, man, I feel so worn out. I know I talked to someone the other day that said, Our house is actually healthy for like the first time in like 3 months. Someone is not sick. It is a miracle of God, you know. But all that stuff, it takes a toll on you, doesn't it? Just life can take a toll. And as I began to think about this series called Summer in the Psalms, my desire for us, my desire for you and each and every one of us is that we would experience that kind of refreshment, that God would minister to the depth of our being in ways that maybe you might not even know exactly what it is, as much as, you know, man, I need God to do something in my heart and my spirit and my soul. I need something to kind of get revived, you know, like that glass of water in the desert. I need God to meet me in that way. And I believe that this study in the Psalms is going to do that for us, that we're going to have the opportunity through this series to really encounter God in a way that I believe is going to be deep and meaningful for each and every one of us. And so today, the main thought that I want us to think about is this picture, this notion of how do we experience the blessing of God? Like, how do we make sure that we can experience the blessing that God has for each and every one of us? How do we make sure that we don't miss out on his blessing? And you know, there's something about that concept of the blessing of God that, I mean, it's woven into our being. We innately desire blessing, don't we? I was remembering not too long ago, I've developed a little bit of a reputation around here, especially with kids, in that they know that in my office, I have a big stash of candy. Like, I have a bowl that is always usually filled with candy. And so there's chocolate and all sorts of good stuff in there. And so a while back, a little one had walked into my office, and she's walking down my hallway, and I said, "Oh, hi, sweetie." I was sitting at my desk, and I started asking her questions, and for a moment, I actually thought she was there to see me. You know, and you're like, "Oh, how nice, you came to see your pastor." And then I saw her eyes kind of, you know, breaking eye contact with me and kind of wandering around. And then she sees the candy bowl over there and kind of gets up on her tiptoes, and it's empty. And all of a sudden, she looks and says, "Bye, Pastor Abe," and she starts to run out the door. And I'm like, wait. And I said, wait. I said, "You can't leave here empty-handed." And I go in my drawer and I pull out this Snickers bar, right? I mean, it's my favorite, you know. But I happen to always have a stash around. Don't get any ideas, anyone. So I gave her the Snickers bar, and she, "Oh, thank you." And she goes running out of the office. And within a minute or two later, it was amazing how all of a sudden kids from all over creation started to find their way into my office, you know. Siblings, distant relatives, you know, it's amazing how when you hear that the pastor is handing out full-size Snicker bars, everybody needs to come give the pastor a hug, you know. But it's, we innately desire blessing, don't we? It's just woven into our beings as human beings. And so this morning, as we pray, I want to just to open our hearts, if we could, to God. And I'm just going to simply just kind of lead us in a prayer of openness to Him. Lord, we do that right now. We open our hearts to You. I pray that for each of us, Lord, as we look to Your Word is the truth. Your Word is eternal. Your Word is life, and it strengthens us. It sharpens us. I pray for each of us today, Lord, that we would have the ability to receive from You, from Your Word. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would come and bring these words to life today in a way that we would be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So, as we open this series that we focus on the book of Psalms, I want us to just know a couple of things about it. The word Psalms comes from the Hebrew word tilium, and it's a word that meant praise songs. And so, what you may have figured out, if you haven't already, that the book of Psalms is a collection of songs or poems, and really they were put together by the Hebrew people for the Hebrew people as a hymn book for the Jewish people, and the Psalms were comprised, in fact, by numerous authors. There's only two books in the Bible that are self-described as composite books, meaning that they were written by multiple authors. The only other book that's described that way is the Proverbs, but the Psalms were written by numerous authors. Men like Moses wrote some of the Psalms. David wrote the most Psalms, I believe 73 or so, and then you have the sons of Korah who wrote 10, and Asaph who wrote 11 Psalms, and Solomon even wrote a couple Psalms, And so these Psalms were put together over the span of 1,000 years. The Psalms were written over the course of 1,000 years. And there's 150 of them total. And what's interesting is that the Psalms are actually kind of divided into 5 books. And again, these were meant for the Jewish people to be able to worship God with. In fact, you'll notice there's little words like Selah and Maskil along the way. And they're simple little words that were guides for them as they sang the songs. In fact, you'll notice even some of the Psalms will describe that they were to be to the tune of another song that they all knew. And so, again, they would use these to give praise and worship to God. And they would use these to remind themselves of who God was and what He had done. And so, in fact, these 5 books of the Psalms that were all put together into one, they actually could be outlined by the first 5 books of the Bible, meaning the first five books of the Bible are also known as the Pentateuch, and so they are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so, really, each of these 5 books of the Psalms represent these different books, these different seasons in the life of Israel, and they point to certain truths about who God is. And so today, as we look at the first book, in fact, over the course of the series, I'm going to do a message out of each of these five books of the Psalms. And the first book that we'll start in Psalm 1, why not start right at the beginning? But it has to do with reflecting the book of Genesis, and in particular, the blessedness of man. Meaning, it's looking back at the way that God, the creator of the universe, created all things, right? You see it in the beginning, right? God created, and he goes through. He created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the trees and the water and all that is. And he created man and woman. And each step of the way, he says, it is good, right? It is good as he created these things. And his favor and his blessing, each part of God's creation is infused with his heart. His heart to bless you and to bless me. In fact, at one point he says to Adam and Eve, he says, I give this to you. You have dominion. I entrust this to you. Your responsibility to steward the blessing of this creation. And he went on, even after the fall of man, which this first book of Psalms goes into, the fall of man, and then how God restored us to that place of blessedness. But he said, even after you fell and kind of turned your back from my original plan and intention to bless you, I want you to know that I'm here to restore you, and I have a plan and promise. And you see that in the book of Genesis further, where he gives Abraham and others promise and guidance and how to get to that place of blessing. And so today, we're going to just get a glimpse here today at how to make sure that we stay connected to the blessing of God. So Psalm 1, verse 1, is where we'll begin. It says this. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So, there's a couple of things that I want us to catch here today about how to be blessed people, how to be people that stay connected to that blessing of God. And if you're taking notes today, the first thing I want us to catch is this, that blessed people avoid certain paths. They avoid certain paths. They avoid certain things. They recognize the importance of positioning themselves in a way that they can be blessed. You'll notice, actually, that first verse gives three positions. It says that people who miss out on the blessing of God, or people who make sure they are blessed, let's say it that way, those who make sure they are blessed, they avoid these things. They don't walk in the way of the wicked. They don't stand in the way of the sinners. They don't sit in the seat of mockers. So they don't walk in certain ways, they don't stand in certain ways, they don't sit in certain ways. And so, in other words, they make sure to position themselves in a way that they can experience the blessing of God. And, you know, how we position ourselves is very important, isn't it? Giving attention to these things. And when I was a child, I grew up in a home on a cul-de-sac. And you'd go to the end of this cul-de-sac, and you'd turn to the left, and there was this long driveway called a flag lot. You know, so you went back down this driveway, and you could go to the right or the left, and there's one house over here, and there's another house over here. I was the one over off to the left. And our home had a big walnut tree right up in the front yard, and then off to the side, there was a huge poplar tree, and there were evergreens over on this side, and there were apple trees in the back, and it was just this beautiful kind of grove that we, you know, you're just surrounded by this beautiful setting, and so I remember, you know, the backyard, the walnut tree actually was in our neighbor's yard right next to us, and it backed up to our driveway. And so one day, I was about 7 years old or so, I was walking out the front door, and I was going to walk down the driveway to go find some friends and that lived down the street. And as I was walking down the driveway, all of a sudden, I felt this thud, and it hit my shoulder, and thud hit my chest, and thud hit my head, and it was these walnuts and rocks that were being thrown at me. And I look up and I hear this, and it was these two neighbor kids named Robert and Steve. Robert and Steve, they had one of them had spiky kind of blonde hair, the other one had this big mop of red hair, and they were, have you ever seen A Christmas Story, the bullies on A Christmas Story, you know, the Bug Ralphie? They kind of remind me of those guys, and they had this little tree house up in the walnut tree, and they were throwing these walnuts and rocks at me, and I'm dodging, you know, like I'm in a battlefield. Oh, and I get to the end of the driveway, and I was kind of annoyed. Well, I got even more annoyed as this kept happening, like every day. It was in the middle of the summer, and so every day, if I was out in the front yard or the driveway trying to play basketball out front, they're just throwing rocks and walnuts, and I got tired of it, you know. And so, one day I had some friends over, and I said, "Enough. Let's do something about this." And so we devised a plan, and my buddies got a couple buckets of these filled with these walnuts from this walnut tree, and I had my own stash. And so I walked out the front door acting like I was minding my own business, right? And Robert and Steve, and they start throwing walnuts and rocks at me, and I dodge, and then I run over to my little stash, and my friends had gone around the backside, and they flanked them from the backside. And so they get their buckets, and all of a sudden, I hear one of my buddies say, "Now!" And we just started hurling just a barrage of probably hundreds of walnuts at these kids. And they didn't realize that they were trapped up in this treehouse, and it was really hard to get down. So they were sitting ducks. There were no walls on this thing. I mean, we were just nailing them. I mean, they. Let's just say that that day, they got to know walnuts very well. And it was a little satisfying, if you can't tell. You know, I still kind of enjoy thinking about this, you know. But it's a little simple picture of paying attention to how we position ourselves is so important, right? Where we walk, where we stand, where we sit is so important. And yet, I want us to recognize that we need to pay attention to these things not out of fear, right? That we don't merely avoid certain paths and certain places simply out of fear. Because if we allow the fear of man or the fear of failure, if we allow fear itself to grip us, it becomes just as destructive. But rather, we allow wisdom, the wisdom of God, to guide us. And see, when we do things out of the fear of God, which again is a reverence before Him to say, "God, what is your wisdom? How would you guide me?" When we allow that to guide us in how we position our lives, that is what leads to life. That's what the psalmist is saying. That is what leads to blessing, is when you respond to these ways of wisdom. And so let me give you three principles that we can pull from this first verse here about how to position our lives in a way and how to avoid certain paths. And the first is this, that if we're going to avoid certain things that are destructive, and we need to recognize that advice is cheap and abundant. That advice is cheap and abundant. He says that blessed will be those who don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And so, in other words, you recognize that there are a plethora of people who are not living their lives out of a fear of God. That they have decided to live their lives out of their own pursuits and their own ways, and they can be described as ungodly or wicked in the Bible. And what I believe the psalmist is saying is, don't just accept counsel from people just because. Especially in our culture today, we live in a world where celebrities, on social media, you got NBA basketball players that are always giving their opinions and thoughts on there, or on, you know, TV and media all over the place. And it can be very easy for us to think, well, just because they have a voice, just because they have a platform, that I guess I should listen to them. And the psalmist is saying, no, advice is cheap. And don't just accept it from anybody. In fact, you'll be blessed if you make sure to not receive advice and counsel from those who are wicked. And so that's the first thing. The second is recognize that bad company is dangerous. He says, you'll be blessed if you don't stand in the way of sinners. Now, what is he talking about there? Now, we know we shouldn't sin, right? But what is sin? Sin, at the very core, in fact, the original word of sin has to do with this picture of missing the mark. In other words, God has set this mark, and we, those who are sinning, who are sinners, are living their lives by another mark. So they are not living by the standard that God has set. They are deciding to live by a standard that they have set. And the Bible tells us we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so those who are sinners are those that have not yet said, God, I want to follow you and I want to align my life to your standard, to your way of living. Those who are still sinners are still living by their own way. And he's saying, beware of standing in the way of those who are still in that place. Beware of surrounding yourself with people who have not yet aligned their lives to walk in God's ways, because it can be very, very dangerous. And furthermore, if it could cost you the blessing that God wants to impart to your life. And so beware of the kind of company you keep. Beware of how you allow yourself to be influenced by others. The third principle here I want us to catch, though, is that critical spirits are contagious. He says, also, you will be blessed if you avoid sitting in the seat of mockers. Now, we don't use that phrase mocker very much. And I remember when I was reading this a while back, I was thinking, so what does that mean? I mean, I love to have fun with people. I love to joke around. I know a lot of people that even kind of mock folks. In fact, and I would submit to you that what really makes a mocker a mocker, and what the psalmist is talking about, is not someone that would have fun in that way as much as a critical spirit. That someone that has a critical spirit is someone that has hardened their heart in a way that they can't show the love of God. So that when you start to see things about people, rather than being able to kind of smile and, you know, with love kind of talk about it, that you start to criticize and really get kind of almost like bitter towards them, and you start to talk about them with that kind of. And so probably the good measurement for, if you're going, well, I wonder if I'm a mocker, do I have a critical spirit? Well, if you think about conversations that you've had, or even things that you've said behind a closed door or on your own or whatever, if those things were replayed on a video screen like that, would the love of Jesus be seen in it? That's probably the good measurement to figure out whether you have a critical spirit or not, or whether someone around you does. And I think it's recognizing that, again, the most important thing is recognizing God is love. And if we're going to be people who align our lives and position our lives in a way that we can be blessed, then we've got to reflect who he is. And he is love. And so we've got to really make this decision to say, God, I don't want to allow anything of a critical nature to fill my heart that I couldn't love someone that you love. And God loves everybody, right? And so, I felt so convicted about this not too long ago. I was reading a book about Abraham Lincoln. He's one of my favorite guys to study in history. And his ability to lead during the Civil War era was built out of his ability to not get hardened in his heart towards people who at times wanted to destroy him, who were undermining him, who were against him. And he was able to love and lead and serve them well. And so, in fact, I the Lord convicted me so much about this personally, even like little attitude things that I would have, that I have a bunch of pennies around in my pocket all times. And if I start to have a critical thought about someone, or sorry, I say a critical word, I pick out a penny and I look at Abraham Lincoln on there and I say, God, forgive me for a critical spirit. I choose to bless that person or that situation right now. And I put it in my little mug and then maybe someday I'll buy myself a coffee with it, you know. But people who position their lives to the blessing of God, they avoid these three areas. They really make sure to guard themselves. Here's the second thing, though. Blessed people also pursue God's word. They pursue God's word. In fact, the psalmist says they meditate on his word day and night. In fact, the Hebrew word that's used there is the picture of a cow that's chewing its cud. And so it's just chewing, you know, the regurgitated grain or whatever it's eaten just over and 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 over again. They just keep chewing on it. And so it's this picture of just pondering God's word constantly, over and over and over again, that we would ponder and meditate on his word. Blessed people, that's what they do, that they allow God's word to have that kind of place in their life. Recently, I was going through my bookshelves and looking for a couple books, and I came upon this big old book. It was this guide that we used a few years ago. It was called, like, you know, the Ultimate Guide to Disney World. We were doing our Disney World vacation a few years back, and so we had never been there before, so we got this Ultimate Guide to Disney World. And I mean, we, for 2 months before we went, like, almost every night, we'd sit down and we're reading through it. Ooh, you know, make sure to get a churro there, you know, and, you know, make sure to, you know, do this ride or get this one in the morning, and, oh, we should get this park at this time, and, you know, and we were, you know, we were plotting our plan. I mean, we had it all organized, what we were going to do, what day, at what time, and some of you are going, man, you are a nerd. You organize your vacations? Yeah, hey, you can be jealous, you know, but we have a lot of fun, you know, and we have a good vacation, and, but we, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, I mean, I was looking through. I mean, that book was folded up, and it was creased and just well used. In fact, every night during that vacation, we would sit down and we'd even review. Oh, we missed that one, or we need to do that one tomorrow. And we were like evaluating and considering our every move according to that. And so, if we can do that with things like vacation, or education, or our job. I know some guys, they do it with sports. I mean, some guys have more sports stats memorized than they do Bible verses. I mean, it's if we can do that with all these other things in our life, how much more so with God's word? And so when we meditate on his word, it's saying, God, I give your voice and what you have to say, I give it the place of priority in my life, that when I wake up in the morning or late at night, when I'm going through something in my life, I want to hear what you have to say. So people who are blessed, they pursue God's word. But then thirdly, blessed people trust God to do his part. They trust God to do his part. And in fact, it says this way in verse 3. It says that it's reviewing. So, okay, you have this person who is avoiding sitting, standing, walking in these ways. And this person who is meditating on God's word, that they'll be blessed. And furthermore, it goes on to say even more. It says, that person, they are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers, the psalmist says. Did you catch that last phrase? In fact, if you have your Bibles open, underline that phrase. Whatever they do prospers. And I want you to think about this for your own life. What would it be like for you if that could be said, if people, when they were talking about you, they'd say, man, whatever he does prospers. Whatever she does prospers. What would it take to be a person that would have the blessing and the favor of God so strongly upon your life that it could be said of you, whatever they do prospers? Well, according to the psalmist, what it says is people who get to that place, it's because they have their roots put down so deeply and who God is, that they become like a tree planted by the streams of water. In other words, they have their life so deeply rooted in God's presence and who God is and the person of God that what they've done is they've begun to say, God, I am rooting myself down in you and I'm not going anywhere. I know that you've put me where I am for a reason, that you have made me with purpose and intention, that I'm not here by accident. And so I'm putting all that I am, I'm putting my roots down. You know, when a tree puts its roots down, it ain't going anywhere, you know, except for a hurricane, but that's different. So we won't. But, you know, it's deeply rooted, right? And I think this is such a pertinent message because we live in a world that has a lot of people that aren't very deeply rooted, right? that it's like they kind of feel like everything is just based on their happiness. And so if I'm not happy in this situation, I can just pull up roots and I can, you know, I can leave this relationship, or I can leave this job, or I can leave this, you know, I can just kind of float and do whatever kind of makes me feel good, what makes me happy. And people who are blessed, they're like trees by streams of water. That they, in other words, again, they have deeply rooted themselves in God to say, God, I am trust all my life, my faith, my confidence are in you. And so I'm trusting you to do your part. I'm not going to just, when people are so just quick to kind of just change, you know, move their lives around constantly in whatever way that is. Sometimes it's even just that their standards are constantly changing. But people who they have, who are rooted in God, they have a consistency and a strength about their lives that says, God, I don't have to constantly change the rules and the scenery just to keep, you know, some measure of happiness in my life. Lord, my sufficiency, my hope are in you. And so again, I think this is the secret sauce. I really do. And I want to be clear here. I think sometimes people approach God like he's there to answer their every whim, right? like a server at a restaurant. This last week I was in two different restaurants. The first restaurant I was in, like I'd ask for something and it wouldn't come, you know. And eventually I was like having to chase the server around the restaurant. Hey, can I get some salt? You know, hey, can we get our food now? You know, it was like, and then a couple days after that, I was in another restaurant. Like I couldn't even get through like two sips of coffee, and they're like, you want some more? You want some more? I mean, literally, they asked me if I wanted more coffee 7 times. I'm like, I'm already fully caffeinated. You know, I'm good. Thank you. You know, thank you for your service. But God, you know, God is, while he's not a server, you know, who's there to serve our every whim and need, we can be confident that he's going to show up in our lives. And if we will just trust him to do his part, be patient, wait on him, keep our roots deeply rooted in who he is, then he's going to work on our behalf. Does that make sense? He's going to work on your behalf. You don't have to chase after, well, you know, this thing that you want or this thing you feel like you need, or it's not happening fast enough, so I'm going to hurry it along. No, that if you will just trust God to do his part, then you're going to see him show up and bless your life in ways that you can't fathom. But you've got to stay rooted in him. Now, the psalmist goes on to say, he says, now, the wicked, they don't do that. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So there's this lack of substance about their life. In fact, that in Israel, this is how they would work. At harvest time, they would take the harvest of grain and they would pull it together and they put it up in this big vat, like this big kind of wooden trough thing. It was just this huge thing. And they put it up on the hill. And then what they would do at harvest time is they would fill it up, and the farmers would get in there, and they'd begin to throw the grain up in the air. And what would happen is the grain, the actual grain, would fall back down into the collection area. But the chaff, the part that didn't really matter, the part that had no nutrients or substance, it would just get picked up by the wind, and it would blow away. And their goal was to sort out all the stuff that was unnecessary, the stuff that wasn't beneficial, and to really have then the harvest, the grain left there. And so the psalmist, again, he's making this comparison to say, people who are blessed, people who have rooted and anchored their life in God, there's going to be kind of this sorting out where if they've set apart their lives in God, then they're going to be set apart for him. But those who have decided, God, I'm going to do it my own way, they're going to kind of be separated off as well. And what he's saying, he's encouraging us to say, be people that make sure that you aren't like chaff that gets blown away. Make sure that your life has substance because you've been deeply rooted in God. And because you've been people that have avoided these certain things, and you're people that have allowed God's word to strengthen you and become the foundation of your life. And that when you're people that have made that decision to just to trust him and to pray and to call out to him for what you need, that then you're going to make sure to be people that you're not like the wicked. You're not going to get blown away, that you're going to be set apart for God. And so then he closes that psalm by saying, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And I think it's really interesting because the psalmist starts this psalm with the word blessed and ends it with the word destruction. Like, what he's kind of making the point of is to say, listen, there's not a lot of middle ground here. That you can either live a life that gets to see and experience the blessing of God, or if not, you're going to probably experience a lot of rough stuff, right? You're going to face destruction. And so the invitation is to say, let's be people who are rooted in Him. And I want to bring it back to the Genesis comparison now. That when you look at the book of Genesis and you see that God's heart and intention has always been to bless you and to bless me, to bless that each member of humanity would get to experience life as God intended. That, in fact, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, as it was going through the creation account and Adam and Eve were created, it came to this part in verse 9. Where it says, the Lord had made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there were two trees, if you can picture, in the middle of the garden. And then the Lord says, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he said, you can't eat from the tree of the life. And that's the tree I want you to eat from. And see, there's a lot of people, even Christians, that, because they have not yet fully surrendered some areas of their life, what they end up doing is they end up living and eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that they think that their good deeds are enough to please God and enough to earn favor with God. But that's not how it works. Salvation comes through putting our faith in Jesus and then through surrendering our lives to Him as Lord. Does that make sense? And that when you do that, then you find yourself in the tree of life, where you realize, I don't have to please God. I don't have to put on this show. We all know we're sinners. We all know that we've missed the mark. We all know that we're imperfect. But when we root our lives in Him, and we begin to abide in relationship with God, not religion, but relationship, that's what leads us in that place of life. And that's what God wants for you. That's what He wants for me. He wants us to be people that experience that tree of life reality, where we have relationship with Him, where there's not fear and shame and guilt, but instead there's freedom and there's joy and there's peace. And no longer are you driven by the things of this world, like it talks about the mockers and all these others that he describes earlier in the chapter. Those things, because we've avoided those kinds of things, now our lives are able to be free from that, and we're able to be fully alive to God. Fully alive to his purposes and plans. And so I want to ask you if you'd set your Bibles aside this morning, because to me this is, again, as I said in the beginning, I believe while it's a simple message, there is something profound at the heart of this psalm. There's something profound that if we can open our hearts to Him, and really allow God to speak to us and really allow Him to show us things in us that maybe we didn't even see in ourselves. But if we can see, allow Him to show those things to us, and then if we can say, okay, God, I'm inviting you in. I'm offering those things up. That, man, that's what's going to lead to life. That's what's going to lead to no longer being just overwhelmed by the same frustrating things over and over and over again. It's what's going to lead to not being discouraged by the things that have been discouraging you. It's going to lead you to that place of confidence because you know that God's going to do His part. I'm rooted in Him. I'm meditating on His word, that I'm walking in ways that are right. And so therefore, God, I know You're going to show up. I trust You. And I want to just ask you if you'd just close your eyes with me, because I want to just give us each the opportunity to kind of focus in here for a minute. I want you to be able to focus in on God. I want you to be able to focus in on what we've talked about today. Today, maybe for some of you, it's just, even though maybe you've been walking with God, you've been in relationship with Him, you'd begin to recognize that maybe Maybe there's certain paths, certain ways that you've been allowing yourself to talk or to think or to act that aren't okay. Like I mentioned, maybe you recognize, man, I've been a little bit critical of people, whether it's people on TV or people in your neighborhood or at work, but you go, man, I've been a little bit critical. God, I want you to clean that out of my heart this morning. I want to surrender that to you. Maybe for others, you'd say, man, there's certain things that I need to, even voices I need to silence. I need to be careful who I'm allowing to influence my thinking. Maybe there's certain people you need to not hang out with as much, or maybe certain TV programs you need to turn off. But you, again, you'd be someone that would say, God, I need to position my life afresh in a way that I can be aligned with your blessing. Maybe for others today, you'd say, God, I've been really neglecting your word. In fact, like I mentioned earlier as well, you go, man, I feel a little dry when it comes to my time in God's word. And you'd simply say, God, I renew my commitment to read the Bible and to really open myself to what you would have to say. Or again, maybe some, it's just simply acknowledging, God, I'm going to be patient, wait on you to do something great. But if you would, this morning, I'm just going to ask you, I want this just to be between you and God, but I would just simply ask you to do this, that just a simple posture, it doesn't even have to be real big, but if you're someone that feels like, man, I need to respond to something that way, I want you to just, your hands are right there in your lap, just kind of open your hands before God like this, and just kind of open them before him, and I'm going to pray for any of us today in that way. God, this morning, for some of us today, we really acknowledge that we want to be a people who are fully connected to the line of your blessing, Lord. We want to be aligned to your blessing. And I thank you for some of us here today that as you've been speaking to us, Lord, we know that you don't condemn us. You don't like wag your finger at us. You're not mad at us, but rather you invite us into a better way. That's what you're doing this morning. You're inviting us into a better way, inviting us into a way that's saturated with your love, saturated with your truth, saturated with faith and life. And so I pray today for each person in this room that we would go forward from today, Lord, with this renewed commitment to be people that walk in ways that are righteous, Lord, that walk in your word and walk in faith. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, and we welcome you, Lord. Guide us even throughout this week. If there's little things that we need to correct or redirect, help us to see that, Lord. We love you. Thank you for just this opportunity to hear from you today.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.